Shri Gundicha, known as Gundicha Mandiram, the temple, Atma Vrindai with his associates, Sammarjayan, washing, Kshalanata, by cleansing, Saha, that, Gauraha, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Svachittavat, like his own heart, Shitalam, cool and calm, Ujvalam, bright and clean, Cha, and Krishna, of Lord Sri Krishna, Upavesha, for the sitting, Aupayikam, befitting, Chakara, made. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed and cleansed the Gundicha temple with his devotees and associates. In this way he made it as cool and bright as his own heart. And thus he made the temple a befitting place for Lord Sri Krishna to sit. You can repeat. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed and cleansed the Gundicha temple with his devotees and associates. In this way he made it as cool and bright as his own heart. And thus he made the temple a befitting place for Lord Sri Krishna to sit. So this is a nice verse for remembering, because it captures the import of this pastime. Lord Chaitanya made it as bright and clean and cool and pleasant as his own heart. So today we will read this story, and here and there are some points from the commentary of Srila Prabhupada that I'll try to speak from my own memory. So Lord Chaitanya, so Gundicha Mandir, it's a place where Lord Jagannath travels during Ratha Yatra. It is built in a place called Sundarachala. Nilachala is Jagannath temple, the temple proper, and the Sundarachala is Gundicha temple. It is not different from Vrindavan. This is how Lord Chaitanya saw it. And actually, even as it is, it looks very, very nice with there are gardens around Gundicha temple also. Looks very pleasant and very peaceful and pleasant place. So Lord Chaitanya envisioned Ratha Yatra as the gopis carrying Lord Krishna back to Vrindavan, out of their love. Yeah? And Lord Jagannath, he goes there to associate with the gopis. Yeah? And then Lakshmi Devi, at one point, she goes there also, because she suspects something's going on there. So one day Lord Chaitanya, he called for three persons, for Kashi Mishra, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and the superintendent of Jagannath temple. His name was Tulasi. So he called them all and said, he begged them for permission to wash the temple of Gundicha. Upon hearing the Lord's request for permission to wash the Gundicha temple, the superintendent of the temple said, "My dear sir, we are all your servants. Whatever you desire is our duty to perform. The king gave a special order for me to do without delay whatever your lordship orders. My dear lord, washing the temple is not service befitting you. Nonetheless, if you wish to do so, it is to be accepted as one of your pastimes." "To wash the temple, you need many water pots and brooms. Therefore, order me. I can immediately bring all these things to you." As soon as the superintendent understood the desire of the Lord, he immediately delivered 100 new water pots and 100 brooms for sweeping the temple. The next day, early in the morning, the Lord took his personal associates with him and with his own hand smeared sandalwood pulp on their bodies. He then gave each other devotee a broom with his own hand, and taking all of them personally with him, the Lord went to Gundicha. Such love Lord Chaitanya has for all his associates. He doesn't just call them, hey, come, clean the temple. he applies sandalwood paste and all of that. It's amazing. In this way, Lord Chaitanya captures everyone's hearts. In this way, the Lord and his associates went to cleanse the Gundicha temple. At first, they cleansed the temple with the brooms. The Lord cleansed everything inside the temple very nicely, including the ceiling. He then took up the sitting place, Singhasana. That's where Jagannath is supposed to sit. Cleansed it and again put it in its original place. Thus the Lord and his companions cleansed and swept all the temple's buildings, big and small, and finally cleansed the area between the temple and the Kirtan hall. Indeed, hundreds of devotees were engaged in cleansing all around the temple, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was personally carrying out the operation just to instruct others. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed and cleansed the temple in great jubilation, chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna all the time. This is an important lesson. Sometimes, you know, we chant japa, we chant kirtan, but sometimes we do some, you know, practical service for the Lord. So at that time, actually, we should also chant. We should chant 24 hours, and as much as possible, we should chant. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that the symptom of Madhyamadhikari is that Madhyamadhikari always strives to increase his chanting of Harinam. This is the symptom of Madhyamadhikari. So we can judge, are we taking some endeavor to increase our chanting or not? So we should remember that. Whatever we do, we cook, we should chant. And we drive bicycle or scooter, we should chant. Otherwise, discuss Krishna, Katha. Similarly, all the devotees were also chanting and at the same time performing their respective duties. The entire beautiful body of the Lord was covered with dust and dirt. In this way, it became transcendentally beautiful. So, Kavi Karnapura in Chaitanya Chandrodaya Nataka describes that when Lord Chaitanya's body was in this way covered with dust and dirt from the temple, he looked like a bright effulgent moon with spots. So moon has spots on it, so he looked just like that. So the spots on the moon, they don't really deprive it of its beauty. It rather adds to the beauty of the moon. So in the same way, Lord Chaitanya's appearance at that time. When cleansing the temple, the Lord shed tears, and in some places he even cleansed with those tears. So he was experiencing this ashta sattvika, one of the sattvika bhavas, ashru, shedding tears. After this, the place where the deity's food was kept, Bhogamandir, was cleansed. Then the yard was cleansed, and then all the residential quarters, one after the other. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu collected all the straw, dust, and grains of sand in one place, he gathered it all in his cloth and threw it outside. Following the example of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the devotees in great jubilation began to gather straws and dust with their own clothes and throw them outside the temple. The Lord then told the devotees, I can tell how much you have labored and how well you have cleansed the temple simply by seeing all the straw and dust you have collected outside. Even though all the devotees collected dirt in one pile, the dirt collected by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was much greater. So Srila Prabhupada then explains that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he acted as an acharya. by his personal example instructing his devotees. So the devotees who are also engaged as in these responsible positions, they should teach by their personal example. Mm. So that this is the symptom of a true leader. After the inside of the temple was cleansed, the Lord again allotted areas for the devotees to cleanse. So again, for the second time, cleaning. The Lord then ordered everyone to cleanse the inside of the temple very perfectly by taking finer dust, straws and grains of sand, and throwing them outside. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the Vaishnavas cleansed the temple for the second time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy to see the cleansing work. So, we can see the service attitude by how the service is performed. Yeah? If somebody performs the service just to fill in the, you know, put the tick in the box, you know, I've done this. Okay, now I can do my own thing. This is not the service attitude. Service attitude is the attitude where you want to please the Lord, yeah, with your service. And it is seen by the quality of the service, yeah. So if a devotee sincerely applies himself to a certain service, you can see the devotee will not just do just the minimum. A devotee will always try to expand the service. Yeah? To do something, you know, do something extra than what just he was asked. Yeah? Then it is pleasing. Then the Lord notices the service. Yeah? So, to clean the temple, you know, so, okay, let's just sweep it. But no, Lord Chaitanya said, you know, for the second time, take the finer dust, finer dirt, and clean it also. So, to accept service as one's heart and soul, this is the process of devotional service. While the temple was being swept, about 100 men stood ready with filled water pots. And they simply awaited the Lord's order to throw the water from them. As soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called for water, all the men immediately brought the 100 water pots, which were completely filled, and delivered them before the Lord. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first washed the main temple, and then thoroughly washed the ceiling, the walls, the floor, the sitting place, and everything else within the room. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself and his devotees began to throw water onto the ceiling. When this water fell, it washed the walls and floor. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to wash the sitting place of Lord Jagannath with his own hands, and all the devotees began to bring water to the Lord. All the devotees within the temple began to wash. Each one had a broom in his hand, and this way they cleansed the temple of the Lord. Someone brought water to pour into the hands of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and someone poured water on his lotus feet. This is the smartest. The water that fell from the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was drunk by someone who hid himself. Someone else begged for that water, and another person was giving that water in charity. After the room was washed, the water was let out through an outlet, and it then flowed and filled the yard outside. The Lord mopped the rooms with his own clothes, and he polished the throne with them also. In this way, all the rooms were cleansed with 100 water pots. After the rooms had been cleansed, the minds of the devotees were as clean as the rooms. When the temple was cleansed, it was purified, cool and pleasing, just as if the Lord's own pure mind had appeared. Since hundreds of men were engaged in bringing water from the lake, there was no place to stand on the banks. Consequently, someone began to draw water from a well. So they were bringing water from, I think, Indradyumna Sarovara, yeah, some distance away. So, again, in Chaitanya Chandrodaya Nataka, Kavi Karnapur describes that there was such a commotion such a blissful commotion going on with people running up and down that very often just people collided with each other and the pots were broken. But it was all blissful. Hundreds of devotees brought water in the pots and hundreds took the empty pots away to fill them up again. Many of the water pots were broken and when people collided with one another and hundreds of men had to bring new water pots to fill. Some people were filling the pots and others were washing the rooms, but everyone was engaged in chanting the holy name of Krishna and Hari. One person begged for a water pot by chanting the holy names Krishna, Krishna, and another delivered a pot while chanting Krishna, Krishna. Whenever anyone had to speak, he did so by uttering the holy name of Krishna. Consequently, the holy name of Krishna became an indication for everyone who wanted something. So the new language was created. You can try today, following the example. So this is Sanketya, Namabhas, when you use the holy name to indicate something else. This is not bad, this is quite good, because Sanketyam Parihasyangva Stobham Helanam Evava Vaikuntha Namagrahanam Asheshagaharam Viduhu. So the learned people, they know that the holy name, whether it is chanted to indicate something else, like we have all, most of us, names of Krishna or his devotees, so we call each other. We don't mean to call, always the Lord, if I call one of your names. So Sanketya, Parihasya, in a ridiculing way. Sometimes people, they ridicule the devotees and they also chant in this way. Stobham, in a way of musical entertainment. And Parihasya, so Helana, with neglect even. So the holy name chanted in these four ways destroys unlimited sins of the chanter. So even the pure devotees, they adopt some of these ways of chanting the holy name as a namabhas. So by, for example, Sanketya, indicating something else by using the name of Krishna. Just as they did in this pastime. It appeared as though Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were cleansing and washing with 100 hands. He approached every devotee just to teach him how to work. When he saw someone doing nicely, the Lord praised him. But if he saw that someone was not working to his satisfaction, he immediately chastised that person, not bearing him any grudge. The Lord would say, "You have done well. Please teach this to others so that they may act in the same way." As soon as they heard Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say this, everyone became ashamed. Thus the devotees began to work with great attention. They washed the Jagan Mohana area and then the place where food was kept, Bhogamandir. All other places were also washed. In this way, the meeting place was washed, the entire yard, the raising sitting places, the kitchen, and every other room. Thus all places around the temple were thoroughly washed within and without. After everything was thoroughly washed, a Vaishnava from Bengal, who was very intelligent and simple, came and poured water on the lotus feet of the Lord. The Gaudiya Vaishnava then took that water and drank it himself. Seeing that, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt a little unhappy and was also outwardly angry. Although the Lord was certainly satisfied with him, he became angry exactly in order to establish the etiquette of religious principles. The Lord then called for Swarupa Damodar and told him, "Just see the behavior of your Bengali Vaishnav. This person from Bengal has washed my feet within the temple of the personality of Godhead. Not only that, but he has drunk the water himself. I now do not know what my destination is because of this offense. Indeed, your Bengali Vaishnav has greatly implicated me." At this point, Swarupa Damodar Goswami caught the Gaudiya Vaishnava by the neck and, giving him a little push, ejected him from the Gundicha Puri temple and made him stay outside. After Swarupa Damodar returned within the temple, he requested Shichidani Mahaprabhu to excuse that innocent person. After this incident, Shichidani Mahaprabhu was very satisfied. He then asked all the devotees to sit down in two lines on both sides. The Lord then personally sat down in the middle and picked up all kinds of straw, grains of sand and dirty things. While Shichidani Mahaprabhu was picking up the straws and grains of sand, he said, "I shall gather everyone's collection, and I shall ask whoever has collected less than all the others to pay a fine." What was the fine? Yeah, to feed the devotees with sweet rice and cakes. In this way, all the quarters of the Gundicha temple were completely cleansed and cleared. All quarters were cool and spotless, like one's cleansed and pacified mind. When the water from the different rooms was finally let out through the holes, it appeared as if new rivers were rushing out to meet the waters of the ocean. Outside the gateway of the temple, all the roads were also cleansed, and no one could tell exactly how this was done. So then the Lord Chaitanya proceeded, and he cleansed also the Narasingha temple, which is there by the side of Gundicha Mandir. And then there was blissful Sankirtana, and all the devotees, they took prasad. It was a very blissful feast where Lord Nityananda and Lord Advaita, they would playfully chastise each other. Advaita Acharya would say to Nityananda, they would sit next to each other. And Advaitas would say, "I have no idea what my destination will be. I'm sitting next to this person. What's his background? I don't know. He's not following the rules, and he's an avadut, and I don't know what will happen to me." And Nityananda in turn not chastised, but playfully criticized Advaita. He said, "I don't know what will happen to me. You know, I'm sitting next to some smarta brahmana who is." So in this way, they engaged in a very joyful pastime. They took bath and then they took prasadam. So this is the Gaudiya Vaishnava culture. You know, devotees gather together, they perform their service, and then they take prasadam together and they chant the holy names. And this is the Kevala Ananda Kanda. This is simply bliss, sheer bliss. Yeah, a very joyful process. So the pastime of Gundicha Marjana is very much connected to Cheto Darpana Marjanam. As you have heard, again and again, Krishnadas Kaviraj mentions that it appeared just like purified mind, just like a cleansed mind. And as it mentioned in this verse, Krishna Upavesha Upayikam Chakara. So Lord Chaitanya made this temple a fit place for Krishna to reside. Just like his consciousness, Svachittavat. So it was cool, Shitala, and it was Ujjvala, it was radiant and was shining. So this is the point. Our mind has to also become cool, means not burned by unlimited material desires. Yeah, not burned by Dushpurena Analena Cha. What is that? Lust. That cannot be pacified. However much fuel you throw into that fire, it will simply increase. So in this way, material desires are not possible to mitigate by fulfilling them. Yeah, because then that fulfillment, the so-called fulfillment of material desire, is never complete. But the result is that the desire will return again with greater force, and it will implicate you even further in a materialistic life. So the solution is asanga shastrena dridhena chitva. So one has to cut the banyan tree of this material world by the weapon of detachment, which comes about by performing devotional service, true detachment. And Ujjvala, and the consciousness has to be radiant, has to shine with love, shine with devotion to Krishna, then Krishna is attracted. Krishna is attracted to come and manifest himself in the heart. So cleansing the heart is taking place by engaging in, this is the first effect of Sri Krishna Sankirtana, Cheto Darpana Marjanam, cleansing the mirror of the heart. So by chanting Krishna's names in Kirtan and also by discussing Krishna, Krishna Katha, hearing Krishna Katha, Shravanam, which as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained, this is the Svarupa Lakshana of Kirtanam. We can't properly chant unless we properly hear about Krishna. Because proper hearing about Krishna from the bona fide source will shape our chanting into something pleasing. We'll make it full with feeling. We'll make it not dry. It will make it sincere and imbued with eagerness and longing. So this kind of chanting, this kind of sankirtana, actually really pleases Krishna. So hearing about Krishna is very important. Shrinvatam svakatah Krishna punya shravana kirtana hridyanta stohya badrani vidhunoti suhritsatam. So Krishna is sitting in the heart of everyone, but he is also our true friend, suhritsatam, especially the friend of devotees. He personally reciprocates with them. So if we eagerly engage ourselves in hearing about the Lord, then hearing about the Lord, which is in itself an act of piety, punya shravana kirtana, hridyanta stohya bhadrani, it will eradicate all the inauspicious anarthas, things, contaminations in our heart. Yeah? The Lord from within, he will cleanse it. Yeah? So in this way, the Lord helps the devotee. Mm-hmm. And in the commentary also, Srila Prabhupada mentions that, so in this way we clean ourselves from within and getting purified from the gross desires to enjoy this material world, gross desires. But there are also subtle contaminations. And this cleansing the heart from subtle contaminations is exemplified by Lord Chaitanya's cleaning the temple of Gundicha for the second time, where he was cleaning the finer dust in every possible nook and corner. And also when he cleansed the temple outside. Yeah? Because sometimes you just sweep the dust outside of your room, and if you just leave it there, just outside the door, next wind will just carry the dust back inside the room. So therefore you have to really, after sweeping your room, you have to, you know, remove the dust and put it somewhere else. Otherwise it will be brought back by the wind. So this is the lesson that we have to, so in this way, this demonstrates how sometimes, even though purified from gross desires, from gross anarthas, some subtle things can enter back. And even those gross things can enter back. And Srila Prabhupada lists the six contaminations that actually originally are mentioned by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur as labha, puja, pratishtha, jiva, hinsa, nishiddha, achara, and kutinati. So these are the six anarthas that trouble the heart, which is labha, desire for gain, desire for puja, desire for adoration, pratishtha, desire for position. Then there is, so Srila Prabhupada also comments that sometimes a devotee might start a business in order to improve his devotional service. Srila Prabhupada mentions this as, you know, in the context of these subtle anarthas coming again. So it may not be always the case, but it might be an instance of that. Sometimes devotees think, oh, let me go outside and I will earn so much money and then I will build the temple. You know, I'll do it for Krishna. But in the process of earning money, you get so much implicated that actually, you know, the temple never comes. It all just about yourself, you know, and your expenses. You know, so we should be careful, you know, in this way. Then there is kutinati, the diplomacy, yeah, fault finding, criticism, yeah, being duplicitous. On the outside, you behave as one person, and inside you harbor some other goals and some other motivations. Cheating, this is actually a cheating propensity. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that bhajana, or here bhajana means loving worship of Krishna, really starts when the inside and outside are one. So this is a very important, very nice statement. When there's no difference between inside and outside. So we shouldn't pose as what we are not. Yeah? We should be real. We should be honest. And not, not trying to behave as advanced when we are not. That will please Krishna ultimately, and that will also make us humble, because if we constantly try to pose and play some role, it's always a matter of tension. You know, you're always in tension. It brings tension. Oh, but when you are true to yourself and to others, then you are free from tension. You are very peaceful, and what's more important, it makes you very humble. Which is very important. But when we try to pose as something we are not, we'll never develop actual humility. Yeah, and in this way, we'll never be able to kirtaniya sadahari, to always chant Krishna. So then there is jiva himsa also, violence to the jivas. So Srila Prabhupada explains that and actually, it comes from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati that it may be done in a gross way, yeah, violence to the jiva. Yeah, you physically harm other living entities or mentally, you know, harass somebody. But also, jiva hingsa can be done by not engaging in the preaching activities. Yeah. In other words, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said that just this abstinence from the preaching work is an act of violence toward living entities. Yeah? So we should always, we follow, this is our line, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Srila Bhaktivinod, yeah, they were the stalwarts. And even Gaur Kishore Das Babaji and Jagannath Das Babaji, even they didn't start big movements, and they were preaching. Yeah, they were always preaching, whoever they met. So this is our line. We should always try to share Krishna consciousness with others and not hide from that service, you know, because this is the order from the Lord, direct order from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jaradeka tarakaho Krishna upadesh, amar agyay guru hoy tar ei desh. You become guru, you teach others about Krishna. And so this is jiva himsa, and there is nishiddha achara, forbidden activities. Yeah. So cleansing the heart very carefully from even these subtle anarthas is a duty of every Vaishnava. And we can pray on this day to Lord Chaitanya that we'll also become successful in cleansing the heart by engaging in devotional service, yeah, purifying ourselves from the anarthas, so that we Krishna could manifest himself in our mind, in our heart. Yeah. But until and unless, as long as our thoughts and our minds are filled with rubbish, I know we cannot remain fixed, truly fixed in Krishna's service. We cannot attain nishtha, steady devotional service. And without steady devotional service, there is no question of attaining true taste, which is called ruchi, which further brings about asakti, true heart-deep attachment to a particular form of the Lord. And that these all are the steps in attaining Krishna prema. So the process of bhakti is very elaborately described by the acharyas, step by step. So we should take advantage of these descriptions, and we should thoughtfully apply ourselves to this practice of devotional service, knowing the sequence, the krama of the advancement. Yeah, and this will help us not to become, not to try to jump on the level we are not situated at, yeah, artificially. Yeah, we should know that as long as we sense some effects of greed, lust, and anger in our hearts, there cannot be a question of awakening spontaneous attachment to the Lord. So we should make us humble. It should also give us more impetus to go on steadily and earnestly in sincere chanting and hearing and serving the Lord. So in this way we can, by studying, by knowing the process of devotion, abhidheya tattva, we can steadily kind of navigate our spiritual journey, yeah, and save ourselves from many pitfalls. This is the mercy of the acharyas who have described this process. At the same time, all the way through, we should know that ultimately everything depends on the pleasure of the Lord. That will determine everything. And the pleasure of the Lord equals pleasure of the spiritual master. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado. Yasya aprasadan nagatih kutopi. There's no other way. You can't please the Lord if you displease your spiritual master. So everything ultimately depends. So all the way through, all the steps in the practice of devotional service, we should constantly pray for the Lord's mercy. We should constantly offer prayers. We should constantly be aware that we are, at every step of our devotional journey, we are fully dependent on the Lord's mercy. Yeah. In fact, the Lord is the one who maintains us by His mercy through this process. Vishvambhara. Lord Chaitanya is known as Vishvambhara. He maintains the universe. Particularly, he maintains his devotees specifically in a very personal way. So we should pray to the Lord for protection against falling into different traps of Maya. So we don't get distracted. Yeah. Okay, so I will stop here. If you have any questions or anything to add, yeah, please.
Hey Krishna Prabhu, thank you for a wonderful class. This is regarding the shloka which you quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam about Namabhas. So the attentive chanting doesn't come into that. So what is attentive chanting?
What is
when we chant and chanting, we hear, yeah, then we are not chanting neglectfully.
Yeah.
We are not chanting for musical reason. Yeah. All those things are not there. So what is that chanting?
That's also another kind of Namabhas. I guess not everything is mentioned just in that verse. Because it is said also that chanting, which is when a devotee is chanting the holy name but consciously tries to avoid the offenses, but despite that he still sometimes commits offenses due to his past conditioning, but he His intention is to avoid it. So that chanting is also counted as namabhas. Chanting which may not be fully pure, but the devotee is intent on pure chanting. That is also counted as namabhas. Yeah, even though it's not mentioned in this particular verse from the sixth canto. Yeah. We are talking about this verse that mentioned four ways of chanting, by using Krishna name to denote some other object, by as ridicule and so on. Yeah.
One more question. Yeah. I have this doubt. I still not enter into my head that what is fruitive activity? How devotional service get coated with gyan karma?
Yeah.
What is this coating in practical terms? How do I understand this?
How devotional service can be covered over by karma, particularly? Yeah. So in the commentary to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, to that verse, gyana karma dhyanavritam, I think one of the acharyas, either Jiva Goswami or Vishwanath Chakravarti, they describe how. So contamination of karma in devotional activity is where, you know, especially, okay, let's start from that background. In Vedic culture, there's so many karmas that people do, so many Vedic karmas and social karmas that people perform, rituals or duties or something else. So when a devotee thinks that his devotional service can be hampered if he doesn't engage in that particular material activity, that's a contamination. And if a devotee thinks that his devotional service will be enhanced if he engages in that particular karmic activity, that's another contamination. So both negative and positive. So some activities that are, you know, related to worldly, some worldly activities, let's say. So if we think that our devotional service can be, will be hampered, yeah, if we don't engage in those duties, you know. So we have to see carefully according to situation what exactly it is, you know, because it's not black and white. So therefore, at every step we need some guidance. You know? But this is how karma can contaminate, yeah. But because the point is, bhakti is independent of karma. So devotee should know that. So sometimes, yeah. Devotees actually, they don't have to, you know, perform so many ritualistic things. Actually, just by the process of devotion makes devotees free from so many rituals, free from so many, you know, things. But if a devotee keeps on thinking that, oh, my devotion depends on this, you know, then that can be as a contamination. And in general also, fruitive mentality as an effect of that, when we perform, you know, activity for the sake of the fruit of activity, you know, that is a contamination. Yeah? Of course, in devotional service, we are aiming at the fruit very often, but we should at the same time, we should always think that this fruit is not for me, not for my enjoyment, but this is for Krishna's enjoyment. So that point has to really sink very deep into consciousness, that all the numbers and the scores in the book distribution is not for our promotion, but it's for Krishna's pleasure. So this is some kind of a contradiction. Yeah, a devotee acts as a materialist, strives very hard for the fruits of work, but this is what makes it different. Devotional service and materialistic work is that all these goals that devotee aspires for, all the results the devotee is working hard to achieve, this is all from the beginning. Devotee knows it's all for Krishna. So therefore, this it is not a fruitive mentality. Yeah, it is pure devotional service. You know, but we have to be careful because our mind always tries to, you know, make us think that, oh, I also have some share in that result, in whatever way. So that has to be eradicated, that mentality. That's my understanding.
Hare Krishna, I want to...
I'm sorry, just a small thing. The activities, karmic activities that a devotee might be contaminated by, for example, worshipping different devatas, yeah? In the Vedic culture, you know, it is prescribed. At every step, you have to worship different demigods. See, if some devotee thinks, oh, I don't worship this demigod or that demigod, my devotional service will be impeded by something. That's a contamination, yeah. Just as an example of something. Yeah? And contamination of jnana. So, what is directly described by acharyas is that jnana which aims at moksha. The jnana, the vichar, the mental speculation which aims at purely moksha that doesn't have devotional service in it. Yeah, this is what impersonalists are working for. Yeah, that kind. But we in devotional service we do deliberate a lot. We do engage in analysis in devotional sankhya. So that's why anavritam. Karma and jnana are actually parts of bhakti. Yeah, but this is devotional karma and devotional jnana, yeah, which is there in the scriptures. But not the type of karma and jnana that distracts one. Yeah. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah.
So this cleansing process is purifying our heart, but we. Gundicha Marjana, just when we sweeping, when we washing, but we can see also some professional sweepers and cleaners, so they are not purifying their heart like we can see here. So it means the purifying the heart is actually devotional service, is this external type of cleaning. It's without devotional service, it's not so beneficial. So, and that's why I want to ask this. My question is that, if somebody is not engaged in this type of cleaning of temple, but still he is doing his devotional service, like nowadays we see in the temples, devotees, they're not cleaning. There are some professional sweepers and cleaners who are doing that. Mm. So what is a loss of if they are not doing that?
Yeah. So there's no. Yeah. I mean, once I think Srila Prabhupada was. I don't remember. I can't remember the details of different incidents, but I remember it clearly that Srila Prabhupada at one temple. You know, I think the preaching work was not going on very actively because all the devotees were, you know, engaged in the cleaning. And so Prabhupada said, you know, anybody can do that. You can hire somebody else and you can do preaching, you know. So according to the time, place and circumstance, we see things. So we don't do things blindly, yeah? So at the same time, having said that, you know, a devotee should never think that, to take a broom in my hand is a disgrace, you know? Sometimes there is that mentality, you know? Or to take a rag in my hands and, you know, clean the floor is something lower than my rank. It shouldn't be there, that mentality. So in fact, it's very good. Time to time, even though our regular service might be something else. You know, time to time it's good to purposefully just take the broom and take the rag and do something menial. Like Marjana. Very good service. Very good for, you know, for our mentality. Yeah. So we should be practical, that if, you know, but at the same time we should, you know, also do this activity sometimes, even though it might not be our regular service. Yeah. That's my understanding. Yeah.
Hare Krishna. I have read in some purports that Srila Prabhupada describes the stages of chanting. Offensive stage, the clearing stage, and then the offenseless chanting. So the clearing stage, I think that is Namabhas stage, so where one tries to get rid of the offenses.
Yeah.
So if one engages in chanting in an offensive mood while criticizing Krishna or like that, so that is also sometimes, you know, we see Prabhupada was praising the newspaper articles, even though they criticize the Hare Krishna movement, he would count how many names are there of Krishna, and then he said that it is good they are chanting. So how does offensive chanting help to rise oneself? Well, the outside non-devotees, how do they advance by offensive?
Yeah, sometimes non-devotees speak about Krishna in a, you know, criticizing way. How does that help? So that may not help them particularly, but it might help those who listen. Because people who listen, they may not, all people might not agree to their opinion, but they will hear Krishna name on the way, so to say. So it will be helpful. At the same time, look at Shishupal. He was criticizing Krishna from his birth. And at that particular crucial moment, when he was just about to be killed, you know, Krishna was just counting 100 insults, you know. So Shishupala incessantly chanted Krishna's name at that moment. So that chanting of Krishna's name, even though it was meant, it wasn't done with pure devotion, it purified Shishupal of his offensive mentality. And at the end, where Shishupal's head was just about to be cut, Shishupal, the last moment he saw Krishna, he marveled at Krishna's beauty, and he basically left his body in that consciousness. He was just marveling at seeing Krishna, and his offensive mentality was gone. So therefore, the chanting of the holy name is always to be encouraged. Yeah. So that is an offensive chanting. I'm not sure if we can fully count it as offensive chanting. It might be counted as Helena, chanting of the holy name in a, you know, by doing Helena. How to translate it? Yeah, in a derogatory way, you know. Also neglect. Also, yeah. The actual offense comes when there is, you know, that comes within the 10. These are the actual offenses, you know. But the demons, you know, chanting. I don't know if we can put their chanting within those 10 nama paratas. I'm not sure. I don't know.
Very interesting. I read in 7th canto purport, Srila Prabhupada says, in the purport itself, he says, when a demon says Krishna is thief, Krishna is not a good person, so Krishna only counts how many times he has chanted Krishna.
Yeah.
And for one life you may give a punishment, and then later on in the next life they will
him.
So Krishna is this very wonderful purport in the beginning, where it's talking about whether Lord Vishnu is equal to all demigods or demons, or is So he's very emphatically proposes how many times he has chanted Krishna.
Yeah.
So Krishna is very...
It takes the positive side. Doesn't take the faults. Yeah. Okay. So we'll stop here. Shri Gundicha Marjana ki jai. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.